shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free.
The Herald of Truth broadcast is on the air, a program of spirit and truth dedicated to teaching the way of God more perfectly. These broadcasts contain keys to help unlock knowledge and reveal hidden truths of the Bible in these last days. Christians called to a higher level of understanding will be given Bible-based solutions to their personal as well as national problems. They will want to find out more about their part in God's plan. Our mailing address is Kingdom Identity Ministries, Post Office Box 1021, Harrison, Arkansas 72602, and will be given again at the end of this broadcast.
Good evening, this is Brother Mike, welcoming you to another one of our first of the month Kingdom Concepts broadcast. We're being heard tonight over WWCR, both transmitters 3 and 4, 4.840 megahertz and 5.890 megahertz, and WBCQ, 7.490 megahertz. Both of those stations have an internet stream, but you can get the best stream by going to kingidentity.com, our website. Go to the radio page, go to the bottom of the page, and you'll see a black box with links to Windows Media, MP3 player, Real Player, etc. And that will be your clearest, since that's right from our Nashville studio. If you'd like to participate in tonight's program, which should be a very interesting program, you can call 877-924-7722. That's a toll-free number, 877-924-7722. You can remember that by 877-YAWS-RACE. I suppose that all of our broadcasts are considered controversial, but tonight's broadcast might be considered a little bit more so than others, and this is because not only in the general public, but within our own circles, there's a lot of preconceived notions and prejudices where we try to justify our own viewpoints instead of turn to Yahweh's laws and his biblical precepts. Tonight's guest is a man who believes the Israel identity message, has believed it for a number of years, and he got caught up in a situation where he got charged with being a sex offender. He spent 3 years in prison, and he just got off of 2 years of parole for his so-called offenses. I'm not trying to justify anything that he's done. That's not the purpose here tonight. Purpose is to bring out both what Yahweh's laws say, his precepts and writings in the Bible, and also to contrast that with the injustices of man. I'd like to welcome to the broadcast Mr. Robert Woods. Welcome to the broadcast.
Hi, everybody. This is Robert Woods.
Why don't you start by telling us a little bit of how you got into this situation?
Well, I had a business. I had a secured as a speech that all my employees, including friends that came by, used my computer. And what happened was, one of my friends downloaded some pictures onto the computer that were, when the computer was eventually seized by the police, they went through it and picked out a bunch of pictures they claimed were child pornography. And lots of people use my computer. On my computer, when the police see the computer, it's automatically my fault. And my friend that had originally downloaded the pictures on my computer actually apologized to me. It's since moved away, but interestingly, I ran into him here recently again, and he again apologized to me for what actually happened. And I saw the pictures that were downloaded. I certainly didn't consider them as child pornography at the time, which the police labeled them as. A lot of the pictures were of girls that were fully dressed, that were picked up by the police as being child pornography. And there were a number of them, of the girls that were over 18, that were undressed, that was considered child pornography, neither of which are child pornography. But once the police actually label something and you have an attorney that refuses to object in a courtroom, they go down on the record as child pornography. So basically, you have a situation where the police, almost everything they said was a lie in court,
and I had an attorney that refused to object to anything. I kept saying, well, he's lying again. The attorney kept saying, well, don't worry about it. That won't affect the case. But it very much affected the case. I got 5 years. And I actually spent, as Mike said here, 3 years in prison. And when I got out, I had 2 years left on parole. Now, the funny thing about all this is, after I got charged on this, I had an appeal bond where I was out for a whole year trying to make my own case and do a habeas corpus appeal. And I had not been informed that I was supposed to register in the meantime as a sex offender. It was like it was kept secret from me. And then lo and behold, 8-9 months later, I'm rearrested for not registering, and they're trying to add 3 more years to my sentence. Would have made it 8 consecutively. And I refused to a plea bargain there because, you know, I wanted to get back to my mom. My mom was very elderly. I wanted to be with her in her old age and that. So I fought my own case on that one, and I got at least to run concurrent. So the 3 years they were trying to add to me consecutively ended up being a concurrent situation, so the sentence was 5, of which I spent 3 in prison, as was already mentioned.
Now, I saw on some of the pictures that were used in the court case, such as the little girls in a bubble bath. I didn't think they were so bad. I have pictures of myself laying on a blanket when I'm a baby that's in the nude. And a friend of mine went to the court and looked through all the pictures that were on file in the court case, and he said that the worst picture was a girl that was nude from the back looking over her shoulder. It's my understanding that none of the pictures involved any sexual activity. Is that correct? And yet, for just looking at these pictures, you were given a 5-year sentence.
Yes. In fact, I've shown these pictures around town to various friends, and they had said they had worse pictures in their own collection. But when I saw these pictures that were downloaded, you know, I left them on my computer. I knew they were there. I saw them. It's not like it was a secret, because I always looked to see what people were downloading, and I should. I probably not have left them on my computer, so when it got seized, they went all through these pictures all over the internet, and you know, everything was downloaded. They picked out everything they claimed was child pornography. And the problem is they also chose a lot of girls that were already 18 and over and called it child pornography, and also girls under 18 were fully dressed. They also called it child pornography. When you have an attorney that won't object to anything, you're automatically going to go down. Nowadays, when the police go after you, it's almost a foregone conclusion that you're not going to win a case. They win about, in the county where I was convicted, they win about 99% of all their cases in the court, that is. Pretty much, you know, they have police officers that will testify. They have actually a name for it. Since they're a false witness, they call it testifying. They know what to say, and they know what not to say, and I'm sure the prosecutors in many cases coach them so that they know what not to say.
And of course, this looks good on to the public for their re-election or their advancement to a greater position in public office.
So once you have the sex offender label, you would help better. There's so many guys out there with this label that really aren't involved with any victims or anything like that. And they have this, like, wearing a scarlet letter, have to go around with a scarlet letter practically. And it does affect their life. They have to register twice a year. And they have different levels. You know, I have a low level. I'm not considered a risk. But they have higher levels. Those guys get a higher level assessment. They can't live near a school. They have to end up selling their house, et cetera. It's really very, very tragic. Some of the things that are happening. And nowadays, a lot of the sex offenders are these young kids that are just barely, you know, they're barely just turned 18, and because their girlfriend's a few years younger than they are, so suddenly they're, you know, classified as statutory rape, where they get convicted and get labeled as a sex offender. It's a real travesty, because the day before they turned 18, it was still perfectly legal, and then the day after they turned 18, suddenly they turn into a criminal. Absolutely wrong. I'm not justifying what they're doing. I personally believe that all sexual activity before marriage is sin. I firmly believe that. So what they're doing is wrong. But what I'm saying is that society condones a lot worse things. They condone homosexuality. They condone adultery. They condone drunkenness. They condone a lot of things that we know are very evil. The Bible condemns.
But as I told you, under Yahweh's law, the worst that could have happened to you, from my understanding, is the judge could give you up to 40 stripes with a rod on the back. And from the pictures I saw, I don't think they would give you many, if any, for such an offense. And also biblically, I know that the government doesn't distinguish between pre-puberty and underage, but above puberty. But Yahweh's law does. And in fact, if you go to Ezekiel, the 16th chapter, it's all about our God marrying Israel. It's from the time that Israel's given birth on up to the marriage, and then when she goes whoring after other gods. It's all done allegorically, of course. But I want to point out from chapter 16, verse 7 and 8, where it says, thou art come excellent ornament. Thy breasts are fashioned and thine hair is grown. Well, by that time, she would have had hair long ago. That means that her pubic hair was starting to grow. Whereas thou was naked and bare. Now, when I passed by thee and looked upon thee, behold, thy time was the time of love. And I spread my skirt over thee and covered thy nakedness. And, basically what we're talking about there is the marriage of Yahweh to Israel. But the point is that she was ready for marriage after puberty. And that's not distinguished by man. And also, if my guest, Robert, would have enticed or seduced a girl, which he didn't, that's correct, isn't it? The Bible says that if a man entice a maid that is not betrothed and lie with her, he shall surely endow her to be his wife. If the father utterly refuse to give her unto him, he shall pay money according to the dowry of virgins. And that's Exodus 22:16-17. There's a number of other verses, and according to practice, where in the Bible, older men married much younger women, and they became of age to become a wife at past puberty and as a teenager. That's just a fact. I mean, they were more mature than the girls today. They knew how to handle the household. We even have Mary, the mother of our Redeemer, who was living with Joseph as a young bride, and as you know from the scripture, they had not yet consummated the marriage, that's right. And of course, she was with the child by the Holy Spirit. But she wasn't living with her parents. She was living with Joseph, who, by all traditions, was a much older man, and she was a young virgin, and he was probably waiting until he felt it was the proper time to consummate the marriage. And that was typical in those days. I see that we have a caller on line one, Tim from Queens, New York.
Yes, how are you doing tonight?
You hear me okay?
Yes, sir. How are you doing tonight?
Good, fine.
I have the same, a little different. I have this neighbor, she's been like on my case, and she's trying to, set me up to put me in jail, but I tried to ignore her. Like yesterday, she made a lie, saying that I took pictures of her daughters in the window because the daughter was making fun of me in my backyard while I was cleaning, and she's trying to find a way to set me up. So what can I do about this to prevent it before she puts me in jail?
Can't give legal advice here. You'll have to find an attorney or a legal aid of some type.
Oh, and what is your way of combating? Are we in the 3.5-year period right now?
Pardon?
Are we in the 3.5-year period of the Lord coming back? He's coming back soon.
Well, I think it will be soon, but we don't know the time or the hour.
Yeah, they say that we're in a 3.5 year period of turbulence. Is that the one we're in right now?
Well, I certainly think so.
And there's a lot of poultry farms on fire right now in the Midwest. There'll be food shortages coming in the near future, no? In Kansas City and everything like that.
Well, I don't know. That's not the topic of tonight. But I thank you for calling.
Okay.
All right. Well, we'll go back. You were treated unjustly in the courts, of course.
Oh, yeah. No question about that. I was rather shocked. I had a lot of respect for police before this event happened. My mom and I used to donate to police organizations every year. And when I got to court, I was absolutely astounded to hear the police officers testifying, knowing they were lying about everything they said was a lie, except their name and where they worked. What was really ironic is that after this happened, I found out that the main police officer that testified against me had to leave the police force because he was in a relationship with an underage girl. And he was going to be fired, but they told him that if he left voluntarily, they'd give him a good reference so he could go work somewhere else. He was known to be in a relationship with an underage girl, for which he was never prosecuted.
And that's something. This has become a police state, that's for sure. Sound like our caller had some problems of being set up, but it sounds like there's more people in this country that are in prison than any other per population than any other country on earth.
I know, it's astonishing, really. But while in prison, I met a lot of sex offenders. You'll be surprised at how big a population in prison there is of these people that are labeled sex offenders. And a lot of guys, what happens is they divorce, they marry a lady that has children, and then that lady tires of them, and then the easiest thing the lady can do to get rid of her new husband that she wants to change for another one is to cook up a story that, oh, well, he touched my children, or he seduced us, or he molested my kids, and there doesn't even have to be any evidence. It's just her say-so, and she can put that new husband in prison and then go, and that way he's totally out of the picture. That way she can pursue her new lover. That happens frequently.
Well, we need to return to Yahweh's laws. Certainly under his laws, things would be completely different. One thing, the marriage laws would respect marriage. A look at the persecution that has taken place among the fundamentalist Mormons. You know, they marry a woman or multiple women, which is biblical. And then because they live with them for many years, and because the state determines that a child was born prior to the age of the mother being 18, they go and throw the dad in prison, and the whole family loses the father and the breadwinner.
Oh, I know. There's an awful lot of tragedies going on because a lot of times the man who was sent to prison, he might be married, he might have kids, he might be the breadwinner, which is usually the case, and the wife will be distraught. She will often lose her house because she can't make the payments. And then if she has to go work, she'll need babysitters, child care people. It creates an unbelievable mess, absolutely unbelievable mess. And a lot of these so-called crimes that used to be misdemeanors years ago have been stepped up to the felony level so they can fill their prisons. They're building more and more prisons all the time. California here in recent years, they built like an awful lot of new prisons. Here in Arkansas, they're building new prisons all the time too because they're expecting to get a higher population. As Mike just said, we have the highest per capita incarceration rate of any nation on earth. And that even goes for all the communist nations like China, etc. Does that mean we're more wicked than other nations? No, it doesn't. It means that our laws are more wicked than other nations.
I think we're under judgment because of our wickedness as a nation. I think it's the judgment's being shown in a number of things. Our president, or the drought that's taking place, and just a number of things, but there's certainly an abomination. Now, of course, I'm not justifying that you looked at any particular pictures or anything else, but there's, like I said before, a big difference between pre-puberty and post-puberty. And pre-puberty if you molest a girl you've kidnapped her, which is the death penalty.
Right. Absolutely, yes. As you said, Bible is clear about puberty being the start of a girl maturing. But, of course, in our age here, we have the age of consent, which is, it varies from state to state. I don't know where it is for Arkansas. Do you know offhand?
No, I don't.
It's probably around 17 or something like that. And it's really curious because there are a lot of sex offenders that had girls that were, you know, say they were 18 through 21 and their girls were like, you know, 15 or 16. Well, here they got charged as a criminal, felon criminal. But if they had had the parental consent to marry that girl, they could have married that girl and been fine. They would not have been charged with any crime. But because they did not get the parents' consent, which is necessary anyway, you should always have the parents' consent, and they went ahead and had this secret liaison, the secret affair, so to speak, and then when he turned 18, he became a criminal and got prosecuted for it, you know.
Well, that's part of the problem is the liberal media encourages sexual activity among teens in high school, and they think that that's good. You know, they don't even condemn that. But if a older man seduces a girl, which isn't right, they shouldn't do anything before marriage. But yet he may have the intent to put a covering over her to take her into his home and provide for her and so on as a wife.
Yes. Well, the culture of the Bible, certainly, there are numerous instances in which you pointed out to me that a lot of the patriarchs married women that were very young, a lot younger than themselves. And, of course, you know, they had different values back then, too. They were brought up, you know, under God's laws. And nowadays, we have such a pop culture and such a culture that's just driven by so many bad things that the values aren't there like they used to be. So even if you had a situation like that, it would be hard for something like that to work out because there's just a great chasm between you know, a girl that's of marriageable age and a person who's older. You know, I mean, I'm not saying it wouldn't work, but it'd be very hard to find a situation like that where it would work today.
Of course, a true man of God wouldn't want one of these worldly girls anyway. There's no substance to them. Every great man in the Bible, bar none, married a much younger woman. And as a matter of fact, Abraham, after Sarah died, at age 137, he marries Keturah, and she bears him six sons and no telling how many daughters. She had to be at least 100 years younger than him to bear him those children. So, you know, it certainly is a standard practice biblically, because a woman comes into her role as a wife much sooner than a man does. You know, she knows how to cook and clean and sew and take care of a household and as a teenager. And the man, he doesn't achieve his fulfillment of his position in life and, you know, the necessary funds and so on until a much later age. I'd invite anybody who would like to join the conversation tonight to call 877-924-7722. That's toll free. 877-924-7722. 877-YAWS-RACE.
I want to make one thing very clear here tonight. I'm not trying to justify immoral pictures. They excite lust, which is a very bad thing. You should not have any kind of pornography, whether it be illegal or whether it be legal. Just because they take legal pornography and declare it to be child porn does not, you know, mean that it's okay to have it. Having any of these men's magazines from Playboy on down are all wrong. They just excite lust. Lust is a very bad thing. Any kind of interest in that situation should be reserved until you are married. And only if you do get married. If you don't get married, you should be like Paul, which was a celibate, which is what I am. And once you get lust out of your life, which I have, by the way, very, very, it frees you up. It frees up so much energy to do so many other things. You feel like nothing is impossible. Nothing worse than being consumed with lust all the time. There's all kinds of things that will feed that lust, and the more you feed it, the more it wants. You know, the more demanding it gets, and the more time it takes out of your life. So if you can get rid of lust out of your life, trust me, it's a challenge. It's a very big problem in the church today. There are people out there who have conquered lust, such as myself. And I would urge anyone out there with such a problem to really root it out of your life, and God can help you. You can pray for the strength to do that. You'll get to a point where you'll have no flames left, no flames at all. It's the greatest thing.
And, of course, pornography is one of the many items used that's listed in the protocols by the Jews to destroy our society. And they are behind the pornography and industry in this country, well, worldwide. I see we have a couple callers. Line 2, Jonathan from West Virginia. Welcome to the broadcast. Jonathan?
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Oh, yes, good. I have a friend, a minister, who is a little bit on the, I would consider, liberal side of things. But we were talking, and he was telling me how all these so-called underage laws, sex offender type laws and things, are just a precursor to a greater control the government is going to eventually place on everyone. He explained that they always go first with the people who have been demonized and made unpopular in society, and then they eventually, the laws eventually creep upward until they turn around and lo and behold, they are registered too for some other reason.
That's true. Exactly what you said. It's demonizing the people that are unpopular.
Yes.
Yes, once you have that label, you'd be surprised how many friends that you used to have will not talk to you anymore, will not contact you. They will listen to all the rumors, innuendos. They'll read the court transcript, which is full of lies, and they'll believe that, rather than come to their friend and find out firsthand about what really happened.
Yes. We also discussed this. He's a bit of a biblical historian, and through his studies, he has told me, and I agree, that the Mary, the mother of Yeshua, some call Jesus, was actually probably about the age 14 or 15 when the Holy Spirit came upon her and she became with child, with the Savior. And in our society, that would make the Holy Spirit a sex offender.
Yeah, that's for sure. That is for sure. It's unbelievable, really.
Well, that's basically my comments, and I just wanted to say that I really enjoy this program, and I'm just thankful that I found it on shortwave.
Well, thank you. We appreciate your call, Jonathan. We have another caller on line 3, Jim, also from West Virginia. You're on the air.
We're taking over. Well, basically, it's very simple. Lust is based on selfishness. Love is based on giving. Adam and Eve. Okay, let's go back there. Eve was to be lover first, helpmate second. And I'm sure that Adam, being the first man hadn't made by God, was the lover and helpmate. It's very simple. Here's how you create a good marriage. Now, first of all, if both wanted to work, the gates of hell get teared apart. If either one of them doesn't want to make it work, nothing can hold it together. Now, I'm going to give you the secret. It's very simple. It's biblical. For good marriage. You each ask each other, how can I help you? How can I please you? How can I pleasure you? Is there anything I can do for you? And if you keep that up for your entire life, you won't be tempted by other women or pornography. I've talked to a lot of good pastors, and there are a lot of scum pastors in the 501c3 world. what I'm tell you. If you don't feel love for somebody, you don't give love. I'm going to give you a story. There are women who have gone into raging streams, who have lifted cars off their babies. They have gone into burning buildings after their babies. Now, is that because the baby feeds the mommy what she needs to eat? No. Is that because the baby diapers the mommy so she doesn't have to walk across the room and use the bathroom? No. Is that because the mommy... I could go on. Listen, real mature love is not about what you get, but what you give. Now, the love that that mother has for her child, because, believe me, the baby doesn't carry the mommy around in her arms, his arm, or whatever. The love which you feel in your heart is a direct function of how much love you give. I've asked people, is love something you give or get? And I can tell instantly who they are. They say, it's what you give. And then they're mature adults. Yes, it's what you get. Well, they haven't grown up yet. I hope I've added a little bit of very simple lucidity to what you guys are talking about.
Well, thank you, Jim. We appreciate your call.
No arguments here.
Jim, no arguments here.
If anybody else would like to call and be part of this broadcast, it's 877-924-7722. 877-924-7722, toll-free, 877-YAWS-RACE. We're at the bottom of the hour. Let me give some contact information. Most of this ministry pertains to the national message of the Bible. We do have a personal list of books that are not readily available in the Christian bookstores, but as far as the national message, God's laws, etc., like that. That's where we put the emphasis. You can get an information packet by going to our website, www.kingidentity.com. That's KINGIDENTITY.com. Scroll down to the where it says information packet and fill that out, and we'll be happy to send you one. You can write us directly at Kingdom Identity Ministries, P.O. Box 1021, Harrison, Arkansas, 72602. Kingdom Identity Ministries, P.O. Box 1021, Harrison, Arkansas, 72602. In the morning, if you would like to call and ask for an information packet, you can leave a message with our answering service, and that number is 870-741-1119. 870-741-1119. I might add that I mentioned a few things. I haven't mentioned actually too much from it, but I have a little essay I wrote. It's only one page concerning the biblical marriage age, and it talks about the different patriarchs and the age that they married and married younger women. It also had lists a number of our presidents that married much younger women. For instance, Grover Cleveland was present at his wife's birth, and he bought her first baby carriage. He was a friend of her father, and he was 27 years her senior, and then he married her. You know, we have other presidents that also married much younger women. It wasn't taboo years ago. Biblically, you have people like when Isaac was 40 and Rebecca was only 10. Now, I don't believe he consummated it at that age. I believe he waited and consummated it later because of the birth records there, but he married her at a very young age. And you have many other instances in the Bible. Anyway, if you'd like that little essay, just ask for it. I'll send it to you free. I can send it out as an email. I can send it as a printed copy with your information packet or whatever. Why don't you give us some more problems on the judicial system?
Well, for one thing, I think getting an attorney is probably about the worst thing you could do. Because originally, when they charged me for not registering, wanted to add another 3 years consecutive, I knew that if I got an attorney for that one, I would have had the 3 years consecutive, which would have pushed me up to 8. So So that's why I fought that case myself, did all my own paperwork, did all my own subpoenas and, you know, everything. And I finally managed to get work out a plea bargain where they ran it concurrent. So in other words, it was not did not add any extra time to me. But it was a big hassle, lots of time, but it's definitely worthwhile. You want to see an amazing case where someone defends himself. There was a good movie made of it called Find Me Guilty with Vin Diesel playing the defendant. It's a true story of a mafia guy by the name of Mr. D'Annocio from New Jersey or New York. And he completely defends himself and he gets himself off and all of his buddies off. They get to go back to their families, back to their loved ones, you know, back to their kids on the charges that would have put them away for 30, 40 years on these racketeering charges and so forth. And I think you have much better results if you defend yourself. You just have to be a little savvy and do a little bit of research, look at the laws, you know what to say and what not to say and so forth. There's a lot of very good online information on that. You can learn, like, Gordon Hall has some very good information. Dean Clifford is another one. Dean Clifford and Gordon Hall, two of my favorites, for learning about how to defend myself in a court of law. And there's a lot of YouTube clips and studies online with these people. You can Google them, you know. And so it's been a really long process. I had one whole year because I was on an appeal bond, so I could go to law libraries, I could research things, study things, and write my appeal. And I did go back to the Supreme Court of Arkansas, where I did submit some material down there, and they admitted that what was labeled as child pornography, they said, well, it was more a case of a, I think the words they used, they said it was a suggestion of a crime, is how they put it. So you've got the state, the Supreme Court of Arkansas saying, calling these pictures a suggestion of a crime, and then categorically, locally, they're calling them child pornography, which is far, far different story, you know.
I understand that they don't even really read the cases so much that a law assistant, a student, reads them and kind of summarizes, makes a judgment.
Yes, looks like neither one of us are in the greatest of shape here tonight. We're both coughing away here. But there's no question this is a major problem in this country. The child pornography charges, there's a lot of entrapment cases going on. It's where a lot of the authorities are putting sites up that have you know, the real child pornography, really hardcore, horrible stuff. And, of course, they're trying to get people to look at it so they can, you know, convict people and get more people in their prisons, you know.
Well, on your original court case, which you had on appeal, it's my understanding that nobody told you that you were supposed to register as a sex offender while you had it on appeal. Neither the judge told you, your attorney didn't tell you, and then all of a sudden one morning didn't the police show up at your door and raid you?
Oh, absolutely, yes. They basically dragged me out of my house, put me in handcuffs, and made me a whole spectacle in front of the whole neighborhood there. Anybody looking out their window would see me hauled off again. Everyone knew what on earth they got him for this time, you know. It's just so unbelievable. And, you know, really, you would think they would at least send you a note in the mail or let you know what you had to do. There's so many people that go back to prison because they did not register. My whereabouts was well known because when I had that 1 year appeal bond, I was calling in 3 times every week on the dot for a whole year. The police knew exactly where I was. I was calling all the time. No one said, oh, by the way, you know, you better register, you'll be in trouble. And it's like they were waiting for me to not know, and so they could come rearrest me. And interestingly, the guy I had to call into for 3 times a week for a whole year, everybody in the local jail knew that he was having an affair with an underage girl in the same town. And it was like almost like a laughingstock, you know, and he was going around. It turned out he could have been charged at that time with a felony for statutory rape. However, he went on and married the girl, I believe, so that made it all legal, you see. So you have situations where, you know, these guys marry the girls and it's okay, but if they don't marry them, they're criminals, you see. It's just totally irrational, the whole thing.
Well, it depends on the favor of the judge, too. caller on line 4, Melvin from Houston, Texas. You're on the air.
Yes. The reason why they do these things because they want to get control over the nation, all the nation that's happening around the world. And it's to take power away from men. That's why they're doing that. It's because the Bible said women will rule over us in the last days. You read Isaiah chapter 3 and verse 12. And he'll tell you that because men have forgotten God and I don't want to serve God no more. That's the way you want all these things are happening in the world today. Because men don't want to serve God and the women now, they don't want to obey men. And men don't want to obey Christ. So that's why we're at now today.
And I think there's a more natural inclination for a younger woman to marry a more mature man who understands to obey and to submit to his rulership than there is to,
right.
You know, just some young punk her own age, you know, if I can put it that way.
Yeah, but, you know, like I said, a new world order, that's why they call it a new world order. They don't want to get rid of the old world, you know, the old God's law. See, a man was supposed to, like, if you get a girl pregnant, that's how we used to do, you know, maybe 20 or 40 or 50 years ago, they would make that boy marry that girl. You know, and that's the right way. You know, as God's law, you're supposed to marry that girl. If you would get that girl pregnant.
Well, they had shotgun marriages back then, Melvin. Remember the shotgun marriage?
Right. Exactly right. You're absolutely right. That's the way
they're responsible for that girl, you know. If they have seduced that girl, and then they have, you know, consummated, you know, their relationship, he's responsible for that girl.
That's right. You're absolutely right. But you see, nobody, you know, enforce nobody's standard. And just like now, like say, a school teacher, a lady teacher go with a 15-year-old boy. They ain't gonna do that school teacher nothing, that lady teacher. Now let a male teacher go with a 15-year-old girl, what they will do with him? They'll throw him 20 or 30 years in prison.
I know, the whole life is based.
Not justice.
And look at the ripple effect of all the tragedy that happens with all his loved ones and family and everything else. How about all these entrapment cases that are going on all over the country now where a cop will sit at a microphone and pretend, you know, go online, pretend he's a 15-year-old girl. And he'll haul
right.
In hundreds, if not thousands of men, you know, they're interested in dating this so-called girl that's a cop with pigtails, you know. And then
right.
they arrest them. It's just a case of pure entrapment, but they all get these big, long sentences.
Yeah, because men don't know God's law no more, you see. They don't want to serve God. They don't want to obey God. So in that new world order, they set their own for their own law.
Yeah.
Nobody
right.
stand up for the truth. Nobody stand up for the truth. You see, no man don't want to stand up for another man. Women will stand up for other women, even though they are wrong. But men do not stand up for other men. Take note.
That's true.
Yeah, they never take up for another man, stand up for another man. Even
right.
in politics, it's the same way. They will
yeah.
never stand up for another man. That's why we done lost our authority. Man done lost his authority over his children, over his wife and the home. And the government
right.
done took control over that. Because he never stand up for a long time ago. Those old fathers, they made the decision. They would stick together. The women
right.
wouldn't have now. The women want to be in everything what men do. Men don't have any privacy no more.
Creating as many felons as possible as part of the New World Order plan. For one thing, it gets rid of the Second Amendment. Can't bear arms,
right.
can't vote. And so, and it puts people under control, you see. They have to register, you know, twice a year, in my case, twice a year. And some of the worst offenders have to register 4 times a year, you know.
Right. See, the only way they can get control over a nation is put the women above the men. You know why they couldn't get control like them old fathers back then. They couldn't get control over the nation. They got yes. control over the use of sexual harassment and child molestation. One man do it, they demonize all the men. Take the power right. away from all men.
That's how right, they do yeah. it.
Hey. And a lot of men do not understand that. That's why he done lost his authority in the home and everywhere else. That's what they use.
Well,
they play on this thing, you use television and play on it.
Well, right. Thank you for calling, Melvin. I know that certainly men make the best men and women make the best women. You know, and they want to mix it all up today where they want just kind of a unisex thing, effeminate men and masculine women, and everybody has the same authority and the same roles, and that's just a lie according to Yahweh's word. And we need to restore the patriarchal system of government. And I believe that part of the patriarchal system of government is done as the patriarchs did by marrying younger women, and I know that's considered very blasphemous according to man's modern reasoning. But you had Leah and Rachel, who were twin sisters. Leah, of course, came out first and was supposed to be married first, and Jacob worked 7 years until. They were 21, and then he worked 7 years until they were 28. But he was actually 77 at the time. He had sojourned in various Haran and other parts. So things are just so much different biblically. And there's such a contrast between man's law and God's law.
On the other hand, you also have some people have this gift and others have that gift, you see. I have the gift of celibacy, which I'm very happy with. And not everybody can take that. Like Apostle Paul said, it's better to marry than to burn. And I take that to mean that if you're burning with a desire, you know, to be with someone, and, you know, that you can enjoy in the sexual union in marriage, that's why it's best to be married. But if you have no needs in that direction, and no desires in that direction, then being a celibate is way better. There's two different ways you can fight this problem, by the way. If you have lust in your life that you suppress all the time, where you have the fires that keep kind of catching a hold of you and consuming you, you know, and you keep trying to put them out all the time. Like, you know, you have a strong desire to masturbate, but you suppress it, you just don't. When you live it, your life is miserable because you have this constant urge. Even though you may fight it and you may succeed, it's there. So the best thing is to get rid of the urge altogether and have no flames to have to put out. Then you can have an absolute wonderful life full of peace and tranquility, and you can move on to other things, you see, and not have to worry about, you know, the things of the past.
We probably have time for one more caller before the end of the broadcast. Number's 877-924-7722. 877-924-7722. You mentioned different callings. I'd like to say that not just what we're saying tonight, but probably every one of our broadcasts are directed to the elect, the small elect remnant. It's not meant for the masses. And as far as marriage itself, there is such a thing as being unequally yoked together. And that happens quite often, where you have a man, or it could be a woman, who has a higher calling, a greater understanding. And they're married to somebody whose only interest is fluff and the things of the world. And, you know, you might have a woman that's interested in the Bible and you know, has some substance about her, some ability. And her husband, the only thing he wants to do is flop in front of the TV and watch some sporting event with his can of beer. And you have it just the opposite.
Well, I may have a different opinion about that one. You remember Abigail? She was married to Nabal. You couldn't find a more worthless husband than Nabal, you know. And yet, and she stood by him in spite of how wicked he was. She stood by him. And then, of course, when Nabal died, then you know, David found out about it, and he went and married her.
I see we're just about out of time. I invite you to write for our literature, the address given at the end of the broadcast. And if you want that essay free that I mentioned on the marriage age in the Bible, just ask for it. I'll be happy to send it to you.
We pray that your spiritual ears have received today's message and that you are fed with strong meat relevant to solving the needs of our nation and Christian civilization everywhere. Herald of Truth is sponsored by Kingdom Identity Ministries through the financial support and prayers of listeners like you who love the truth of God's Word and want to see it broadcast throughout the land to awaken His people. If you would like a
CD
of today's message, tell us the date and station to which you are listening and send a donation to cover our cost plus help with radio time to Kingdom Identity Ministries, Post Office Box 1021, Harrison, Arkansas, 72602. We would appreciate donations made by our international listeners to be in U.S. funds. For a free introductory packet of information, including our doctrinal statement of beliefs, plus lists of books and tapes to aid you in your study of biblical truth, write Kingdom Identity Ministries, Post Office Box 1021, Harrison, Arkansas, 72602, USA. Or request this material by calling 870-741-1119. That's 870-741-1119. Visit our internet website by going to www.kingidentity.com. Type www.kingidentity.com. We invite you to listen regularly to Herald of Truth broadcast for more dynamic messages proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom at this same time and station.